the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another special edition of Mason and Guest, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guest is brought in association with the good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection. Heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guest is brought in association with the good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
Excitement of CPL with Berger Paints. Purchase any 2 gallons of Berger Paints for your chance to win 2 tickets and experience the thrilling action live at Kensington Oval. Don't miss a single 6, wicket, or unforgettable moment. Visit your nearest Berger Hardware store today. For promotion details, follow Berger Caribbean on Facebook and Instagram. Terms and conditions apply. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
All right. Well, lots of cricket. Of course, the CPL very much with us. And of course, the Barbados Tridents up against the Antigua Falcons. That game starts at 7 o'clock Eastern Caribbean time. I think the toss being done now. Hoping to get some atmosphere there. We're trying to reach Philip Spooner, who of course is very much there. Colin James has promised that he will be with us as well. We're going to try to do that. So CPL very much in the air. And as you know, the big finals will be at Kensington Oval. We're looking forward to that come September. But also as well, there's the International Masters competition. Yes, the over 40s are playing. I said over 40s and not over 60s. They're very much going to be very much involved.
Feel the excitement of CPL with Berger Paints. Purchase any 2 gallons of Berger Paints for your chance to win.
Certainly, we're just hoping that we are in a position, of course, to bring some of that to you, the International Masters competition over 40s. So we're going to try to see if we can actually make that contact. But in the meantime, we're going to say hello to Philo Wallace, who joins us early for once. Hello, Phyllis. Philo, no problems with traffic this evening. Good to have you on Mason and Guest.
Hi, good evening, Andrew. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me on the program. Yes, I made it home early. There's a bad echo in this coming up from the studio, I believe. But yes, I'm here. Thanks for having me. I just want to say hello to the panel and all your guests. Say hello to Sherlock Hart, Boogie Britt, and Heaven. Yes, Andrew, CBL is just upon our doorsteps. I was speaking to someone from Comey just over the weekend, and they expect that everything will be flowing, and the stadium will be packed, and everything should be good for the final 2 weeks of the CPL in Barbados.
Ensure that
Philo, what are your expectations for the CPL this year in Barbados? You think it's going to be really good?
Well, that all depends on how well the Tridents come out from their visits to the other territories and how well they start in Barbados. Because you know the home people, the crowd will only come once they're winning. And I think that Kingston and Nova will be good. I think the pitches have settled now. The outfield will be fantastic. It's just that the Trident themselves have to play good quality T20 cricket. And once they do that, I think they're going to get the home support beyond numbers.
Well, they've only played two games. So the thing is, they're in the middle of the table, only playing two games, while some other teams have played as many as six. So they have a lot of games in the bank, and they aren't too bad with the points. Some 4 points compared to six for the top team. So they seem to be sitting in a good position if it's a horse race.
Doc, I would say, or I'll let you guys know, I know a whole bunch of folks coming are already booked for Barbados, coming from the New York area and so on.
Yeah.
So irrespective of who gets to the finals, you will have a lot of overseas guests.
Oh, that's good. I'm sure our tourism concerns would be very happy.
Yes.
About this.
I heard of a guy, a party of 40 of them. And then I got a bunch of friends who are coming. So, and I'm hearing that all over the place. So, yeah. Barbados will be.
And you aren't coming yourself?
No, unfortunately not.
You couldn't get secure vacation. Eh? Well, I know Andrew's been working on something there in the background, so I've been trying to fill in some time.
Yeah.
Basil, you watch a lot of cricket. What are your impressions of the CPL thus far?
To tell you the truth, the cricket for the most part has been typical CPL. It hasn't been as compelling for me as it has been in the past years. I noticed that from the last two seasons, the cricket was not as compelling. So I don't have the same fervor as I used to have, but I'm still looking because I want to see some of the younger players that we got coming through. That's my biggest interest. I have no rooting interest, but it's more just to see who are the young players coming through.
All right, well, I think I'm up and running now. Yes, sounding loud and clear. Are you hearing me well now?
Yes, we're hearing you finally, sir.
All right, finally, yes. I know that there was a bit of a challenge. Thanks, Arthur Sweeks, who was able to make sure that we are very much good now. Let's go to Antigua. I think Colin James has joined us. Hello, Colin, how are you?
Colin, you're muted. You're muted, Colin.
Yeah, I'm great. All is well?
Yes, all is well. We're just trying to get some atmosphere. Well, what's happening in Antigua?
Well, both teams are going through their pre-game warm-ups. It's just about 6:24. The Tridents have won the toss. They were both first. I guess they were trying to weakness of the Antiguan Barbuda Patriots that they can't set a target, as we would have as they would have demonstrated last Sunday in the game against the Guyana Amazon Warriors. So, yeah. I think Barbados has done the right thing. The Tridents has done the right thing. They have won the toss and decided to bowl first. They have resorted to one of the pitches that would have been used predominantly throughout the four matches in this series. Last Sunday there was a fairly new pitch that was used, and I think the Falcons came up against a pitch that had a bit of grass and some bounce and some turn, and they just didn't respond as well as they should have.
Hmm. I see. Now talk to me about the Falcons. They've been a bit up and down. Would you agree with that?
Certainly. Three wins, three losses shows that they're not really consistent as they would want to be. If they want to be in the top four, they have to win this game tonight and make sure that at least they win three of the other four matches when they go to St. Kitts, Guyana, and come to Barbados. I don't think they're going to Trinidad.
Yeah. Now, in terms now of the crowds, you've had good crowds so far?
Yeah, the crowds on Saturday and especially Sunday were very good. Sunday's crowd would have surpassed the 10,000 mark, I believe. The first night, the Thursday, it was about 5,000. I would say Saturday's crowd was between 8 and 9, and Sunday's crowd was over 10,000. As you know, Guyana is a home team in Antigua.
Yes, indeed.
They have about 20,000 Guyanese living here, so at least half of them came out on Sunday.
Right, indeed. And generally, you would say that you're happy with the crowds then. Were you expecting more, or are you happy?
Generally, the crowds have been what would have been expected. I'm hoping tonight that we have another 5,000 crowd because
only five. Do well for the... Only 5,000, Colin? Only 5,000?
No, 5,000.
The Barbados Tridents are in town, Colin. The Barbados Tridents are in town.
In excess of 5,000. I think, you know, CPL cricket over the last 3 years have certainly caught the imagination of the residents and citizens of Antigua and Barbuda. And we have had at least another, maybe about 500 visitors who have come into the country. We have the Trinidadians who came in. We have Trinidadians who came from America as well. And there would have been Guyanese who would have come in as well from Guyana. As you know, there's a special charter flight that is linking the Caribbean islands through high mile travel. So it's all about, you know, making sure that the fans can come into Antigua and Barbuda, and those who are living here can take advantage of what is on offer. So the promotion too has been good. The CPL, the Falcons have drum up promotion for the matches in Antigua. So all in all, we should have a fairly good crowd tonight, I gather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we're certainly looking forward to that. The Tridents, they've done pretty well so far. They've won both of their matches, Colin. So you better watch them tonight.
Yeah, the Tridents have been doing quite well. They may not have the marquee players that you and Basil and Butch and others in Barbados would be looking for, but you know, they seem to be playing as a unit, and that's the most important thing. If you can get 11 players to gel, 13, 14 players to gel, that's what is important. It's not the marquee names you're looking for. You're looking for the players to gel. So all well to the Trident so far, and the Falcons have to come up trumps tonight. They, you know, they have to really come with their A game. Zari Joseph, Jaden Seals with the ball, Shadab Khan as well with ball and bat. And in the batting order, you'd expect that Evan Lewis, Django, as well as Khan, to be, you know, looking to get some big scores so the Tridents can get maybe 160, 180 and make it a competitive game.
Mm-hmm. I see. Just before you go, Colin, you're very much a part of the radio broadcast. I understand radio being done. I know we're going to have TV.
Yeah, the radio broadcast has been going well. No, I'm not part of the commentary panel.
You weren't selected, Colin? They didn't pick you?
Well, maybe you need to put in a good word for me.
I'll do that.
Myself and the great Jack Matt, who have been occupying the media center along with Philip Spooner.
Yes.
So we have been manning the media center here. So you have the likes of the great Denmore Roberts, Denmore, Alan LaRose from Guyana, Terry Laraji, formerly from Australia, as well as Dave Joseph, the former.
Oh, Dave Joseph, good old Dave is
and
there.
And Seth Burton, they're the ones carrying the load on the radio.
Mm. So you're the 12th man then, Colin?
97.9. Sorry.
So Colin, you're the 12th man?
No, I'm about 13, 14. Jack Matthew will get the pick ahead of me.
I see.
Andrew, yes. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Certainly.
I've been hearing complaints from my Bajan friends of the paucity of top Barbadian players in the Trident's team. They're saying it's not the top Barbados players are in the team. They've been complaining about that. What do you say?
Yes. Yeah, I've been hearing the complaints too. And you ask the question, how come a Jason Holder,
yes,
or Kyle Mills,
yeah,
or, you know, some player of that ilk is not captain in the Tridents? That's a serious cause of concern, Andrew.
I agree.
Prime Minister.
Yeah, I agree. And as you know, Mayor, Auntie Mayor, she's got lots of power. You know that, don't, yeah, of course. In fact, it was the Barbados Royals. It was the Barbados Royals, and she now made it the Barbados Trident. Such is her power.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm going to say good evening to you. I know you're going to continue to be 12th or 13th man. You're going to watch the game, and we hope to be able to speak to you a little bit later on. Thanks for coming on Mason and Guest.
Yeah, if you want to call me back before the end of the show, no problem.
Okay, fine.
We can have a little chat, maybe 10, 15 minutes before the end of the program.
All right, good. Thanks very much indeed, Colin Jim. So when we come back after our first commercial, I really want to talk as well. We're going to come back to CPL, and it's going to be of great interest to hear from Raj Singh and Roy Singh, who have joined us. Of course, very soon we're going to have some of the old stalwarts, some of the great players of the past involved in International Masters competition over 40. So when we come back from a commercial break, we're going to certainly be talking about that. Mason and Guest, brought in association with the good friends, of course, at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
And he's going down the ground. I think it's massive. He is clear.
Feel the excitement of CPL with Berger Paints. Purchase any 2 gallons of Berger Paints for your chance to win 2 tickets and experience the thrilling action live at Kensington Oval. Don't miss a single 6, wicked, or unforgettable moment. Visit your nearest Berger Hardware store today. For promotion details, follow Berger Caribbean on Facebook and Instagram. Terms and conditions apply. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
All right, let's go to Raj Singh, who's the chairman of the CWIMA. Of course, he's going to explain what that means. Roy Singh, of course, he is the secretary of the association. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, prepare for some cricket at the over 40 level. Basil, you are over 60, so you don't qualify at all. Dr. Ford is over 60. He doesn't really qualify. In fact, they're not fit enough. But I thought it important to have Raj Singh and Roy Singh on the program this evening. Gentlemen, first of all, good evening to you and welcome to Mason and Guest. How are you, Roy? You're muted, Roy. Roy? He's muted.
Andrew, thank you for having us on board. It's our pleasure being here and to explain what's going on in this over 40 World Cup. Raj?
Thank
you very much, Andrew. We are very pleased, especially pleased to be part of this program, Mason and Guest, our first appearance here. Cricket, CWIMA means Cricket West Indies Masters Association.
Yes.
And for those of your guests and audience who may not know, we administer Masters Cricket at the over 40s, over 50s, over 60s, and very soon we plan to do over 70s cricket also.
Really? Over 70s? Yeah. My golly.
Well, Andrew, you could train for that one, can't you?
Yes, indeed. I'm pretty close there, yeah? Oh, my golly. Okay, well, tell us about this. It's going to be in Guyana. Raj, let's start with you. The tournament is going to be in Guyana.
I noticed my friend Basil is also on your panel.
Yes, good old Basil.
Hey, Basil, how you doing, man?
Hey, you know, Raj, good to see you.
Good to see you too, man.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
You got to come up to Guyana in October, man. October 17th to the 31st. We are hosting the first World Cup, 16 countries inaugural Masters World Cup to be held in the Caribbean and firstly in Guyana. So we've got lots of planning going on. For the past, we started since in December when the tournament was awarded by the IMC. We've got a governing body called the IMC instead of the ICC that you guys would know that governs international cricket. It's called International Masters Cricket. And West Indies is represented by CWIMA, of which I've been the founding chairman from whenever we got started in 2019. So the first World Cup here is going to be at the over 40s format and ODI format. We've already bidded for... submitted an expression of interest for the T20, which will be held in 2027, next year. So we're hoping that we'll do very well with this particular tournament, enough to influence the organizer, the powers that be, to grant us the next World Cup at the T20 format level. Mm. At the over 40s also.
Mm-hmm. And Roy, you're the secretary of the association. We're going to get, of course, Dr. Ford to come in pretty soon. I'm sure you've got some questions. You talked about 16 countries, Roy. Can you tell us some of the countries? I would imagine the big names would be England, Australia, etc. Roy?
Yes, yes. I'll list off the names. It's West Indies, of course. We have two West Indies teams. Because of trying to balance out, we wanted to have a 16-team tournament. We've got the West Indies and we have the rest of the Caribbean. They've got two teams. So initially, basically, it's a West Indies first team and a West Indies second team. In addition, we're going to have powerhouses such as Australia, England, India, New Zealand, Pakistan, South Africa will all be there. But of course, we're going to also have Canada, Namibia, which is not new to the World Cup scene, but they are a up-and-coming force, and Scotland. There's lots of Masters cricket going on. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar, but in United Kingdom, Masters cricket in Australia, it's the fastest-growing sport in those communities. And there are a massive number of teams. For example, the over-60s in England has 3,400 participants.
Wow.
In those teams. Yeah. So it's just unbelievable the number of players, because these things are age appropriate. Players are not playing against 20-year-olds. They're playing against age appropriate. And the cricket is very good. So it's allowing players that would have given up the game to continue to play at these levels. So, you know, it's just quite interesting. And we're having more and more teams join us. So right now we're up to 16, but you know, the next tour, it could be 18 or 20. So this just keeps growing bigger and bigger.
I see. Well, I know that Philip Spooner has joined us and he's got limited time. No doubt, Philip, you may want to react to this. Cricket, very much the Masters going to be in Guyana. And Raj, in fact, gave you when it's going to be. And certainly you would want to react to that and let us know what's happening in Antigua. Philip?
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening to everyone. That's amazing. I have a few friends who are actually learning up to play. People like Andy Payne and...
Oh, really?
Brian Johnson and Anthony Morris and my good friend Sean Hunt. So these are the kind of guys that absolutely love these as I said, age-appropriate tournaments for the older players. Some of them retired and some who just will never stop. So it's wonderful to hear this. I'll be delighted to hear more about it and get a better idea, especially some of the players who will be coming from overseas. So this sounds like a wonderful project. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it goes well and people turn out and attend and have a really good time in Guyana.
Mm-hmm. Rad, any big names involved?
Well, what you find happening with Masters cricket is that the host country, because it's self-funded, right?
Okay.
We don't have any recourse we're not awash with funds like how the ICC is. And, we're fairly new. So it needs to be caught on with the public at large so we could get the kind of support and sponsorship that we need to grow the sport, right? And as Roy said, the Masters cricket is growing exponentially around the world, and we hope to continue in the same vein. Mm-hmm. The big names mainly come from the host country because, you know, as I said earlier, it all boils down to self-funding, right? And people who are at home, like we went to Pakistan, we played against, you know, the likes of, Shahid Afridi did not play, but he was slated to play.
Our friend from Police.
Abdul Razak was team. One of them.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
Misbahul Haq.
Larry
Babb was there with us in Pakistan. So, and those names that Philip just called there, those guys are the over 50 level. Anthony Morris, Brian Johnson, and so on. From Barbados, we hope to have like Randy Thomas. I don't know if you know him, Philip. To represent the West Indies here this year. He was there with us in Pakistan in 2023. We've already secured the services of Ranveer Sarwan.
Oh, really?
Dinesh Ramdane, Jason Mohammed, Riyad Emirates, Chattagoon, CNRI in Chattagoon, Devendra Bishu. So we're seeing this level, we've put together quite a formidable team, like about 8 former international test players and ODI players. So it's Pakistan, I know, are coming with a few. You find a lot of these guys, I mean, like the former test and international players, they're not inclined to pay to play cricket now at this stage, mm-hmm. right? And they because they're accustomed to be paid, right? So whenever we are touring, you find that, you know, these guys don't want to go because they will not pay their way. You got to get sponsorship for them, or you got to pay them yourself. I mean, and as I say, it's a self-funded thing. We don't have access to heavy sponsorship dollars. You know, we are now feeling our way, as you would know. And we're trying to make this tournament a real marquee tournament whereby, you know, it would be one of the better tournaments out there, because Guyana, you know, is the fastest growing economy. We've got the full support of the government, whereby the president is the patron of the event. And we've been getting very solid support from the government for this tournament.
Andrew, I'm amazed to hear Bishu. I didn't realize Bishu was 40 already. that name really jumped out at me. Sent me to Google to check it out. Bishu, Devendra Bishu is 40 years old. Who believes that?
Yeah.
Andrew?
Yes.
This is Julian. I'm not sure if you know that I'm on.
But very much, Julian.
I just want to put in some words to say what a great job these gentlemen are doing, both Roy and Raj. I had the opportunity, privilege to tour with them in South Africa just during the COVID. And, you know, unfortunately, the COVID chased us away in the middle of a game. But they've got this thing really sorted out properly, really good. You know, the service you get from them is excellent. The bus rides, the socializing. And it's up to a very high standard. You know, there was South Africa, there was Australia, there was New Zealand. So this is serious stuff. And it's good to know that some of the past West Indies players are starting to take part in it. So I haven't seen Roy and Raj for a while, but it's good seeing them. So how are you guys? All right?
Nice to see you, man.
Okay, great stuff. But you all are doing a great job, so keep it going.
Try and hop over to Guyana, man, in October to be part of this historic occasion.
Okay, I'll definitely try it, because we had a great time in quite apart from the cricket in South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I know you're now retired, so you have the time. I think your daughter's now in university. Well, so
that's
you,
right.
You should have some time to hop over.
All right, sounds good.
Sounds good indeed. Doc, any questions for the gentleman?
Well, Monsieur Singh, I mean, it's good to hear about Masters cricket. We've heard about it for some time, but you guys seem to be involved in a much more organized version of it. You didn't mention that it's self-funded, and we do know that India kind of control the purse strings of cricket internationally, and I'm sure that India is involved. Is there a way of, you know, having a target audience that revolves around past Indian cricketers that can help to solve your funding issues?
Interesting question. We all know India. Once India buys into something, you know, you really get the support and the financial support. But when the World Cup started, India really, the bulk of their team came out of England, actually. Indians living there. It's not really caught on much in India, whereby, like, the former test players are playing. So, like, we've got over 50 World Cup coming up in Hyderabad in January. So we're hoping, you know, down the line, as we continue to grow, you know, we attract more and more attention, you know, where it's supposed to go to. And we're hoping this is the second. We had a World Cup in Chennai at the over 60s level. That's 2024, I think that was. And now we're having our second World Cup there in Hyderabad in India. So we're hoping that, you know, whenever these events are held in a particular country, it attracts, it attracts, you know, everyone, and hopefully it would catch the, you see, sometimes what happen with test cricketers or international cricketers, when they hang up their gloves, you know, they've practiced hard and worked hard to keep their body cricket fit, you know, to play the game during their formative years. And when they retire, you know, they kind of lose that level of fitness and cricket fitness to continue playing the game. And rest assured, I could tell you, Doc, that the level of and standard of Masters cricket at all levels. Look, we just came back from Canada, where West Indies participated in 13 other countries, and we brought six. Australia was there. England and New Zealand ended up being joint winners because the final was rained out on Sunday. And we came out, we lost narrowly to South Africa for the plate final. But we gave a fairly good account of ourselves. It's very serious and competitive. And it's 45 over games, right? It's not short games, so it's not easy. And a lot of these matches are back-to-back. So a lot of interest has to be paid to fitness. Fitness is a major concern and requirement to be competing in Masters cricket.
Yeah, these tournaments are, gentlemen, are a lot of back-to-back matches, and it really is a marathon. And one of the things that you have to understand is a lot of the former players, that the greats that have hung up their gloves, are just not fit enough to play at this level. This is just a different ball game completely. It's really a survival of the fitness, because you're playing 45 overs, two back-to-back games. It's just a lot of stress on the body. A lot of the players that play in these tournaments were not the big names. These were the people that were close, very, very close, but have continued to play cricket all through their careers at whatever levels, and they still continue to play. So that's who we are attracting. Mm-hmm. And it speaks to a lifestyle goal where these people are, it's fitness for life, and just overall the benefit of Masters cricket and the benefit of how it will improve their overall health and lifestyle. So it's quite different. It's not about the names, it's about the lifestyle and what we bring to the sport itself. It's also about the camaraderie, because a lot of the players, as they get older, they will graduate from the over 40 to the over 50, over 60, over 70. So you're going to develop friendships for decades at a time. And it's just a wonderful experience as you go through this as a player.
I mean, to follow up on what Roy is saying there, when we go to India, the over 50s level, we still have the two Danny Rams, Sudesh and Sunil, going with us, and Mahendra Nagamuttu, or the highest wicket, the leg spinner, he'll be with us also. So these are guys who still continue to play the game in their respective countries. And West Indies, we suffer from a geographical problem, whereby we pull players from England, North America, USA and Canada, and around the Caribbean. So it's hard for us to host domestic tournaments to really pick our team. So whenever we meet up, you know, that's how we hope players compete in tournaments in their respective regions.
Doc, any other questions?
Well, guys, getting back to the economic base of it, I'm trying to see what we were looking at. Is it that you wanted to work on the camaraderie and the fun part of retired cricketers, well, cricketers at an older age playing, or is it that you saw that there was a target market that you wanted to focus on and develop?
No. This all came from the mindset of a gentleman by the name of Sterling Hammond. He's from Australia. It started years ago where he thought, why can't Masters cricket be played the way it should? So this is a amateur event where Masters players can play in their age appropriate, so we can enjoy it. Because, you know, if you've toured anywhere around the world, and I've toured extensively around the world, ultimately what happens is that you go there with a team from North America or England or wherever else, you're playing against 20-year-olds, and that's just not fun. So this allows you to play competitive cricket against your own peers and to enjoy it, but at the same time be very competitive. So that's what this is about. It allows you to play in these age categories. Raj, do you want to expand on that?
Yeah, it's not only that's what happens, and it also, I mean, it's being done now in a more structured manner, whereby the IMC, headed by the same Sterlingham man that Roy mentioned, you know, there's a board of directors that governs cricket, and we now have 15 member countries, and we've got like about 10 or 15 other associate members out there who are knocking on the door to come to join, because. But what we do, we try to put in certain stipulations whereby they must be able to field teams in at least two age groups, 40s and 50s. To grad, like we have West Indies, we had the West Indies, we have never done the over 70s format as yet. Mm-hmm. There have been two World Cups at the over 70s level. Right. They just had a World Cup in New Zealand at the over 70s with eight teams. But the next one, West Indies hope to field teams. Look, Larry. We met Larry Gomes in Canada while we were there, and he represented Canada at the World Cup in New Zealand, but he wants to come back to West Indies to represent West Indies at the over 70 level. We're going to embrace him. And over so that's 70. What's going on. Larry still wants to play cricket.
Whoa, over 70. stick a pen, gentlemen. We got to do a commercial. But just before we do that, I know that the game is about to start there in Antigua. Let's go back to Philip Spooner. Philip, what's the atmosphere like there? Tell me.
Yeah, Andrew, another exciting night of cricket here. If Sunday night was anything to go by, we really, Antigua is back on the map. We had just about 11,000 people on Sunday night for what was basically Little Guyana versus Antigua. You know, 11,000 people, 4,000 Guyanese, all waving the flag, and they absolutely gave the Antigua Barbuda Falcons a beat down. I mean, Shamar Joseph. When last did you see fast bowling like that? And then Hetmyer and Shea Hope really pounding the ball to all parts of the ground. Every six that was hit, it sounded like you were definitely at board back in the day.
Philip
Spooner,
there's not little Guyana anymore now, boy.
Well, I mean, Little Guyana in Antigua.
I like that.
I know there's Little Guyana in Queens in New York.
Yes.
But it was little Guyana on Sunday. So here Tuesday night now, a much smaller crowd a week there, and obviously not as much support as yet. We're 5 minutes away from the start, and there's a decent-sized crowd, you have to say, for Tuesday night. Barbados are about to come on the field. As you would have heard, Cheyenne Brathwaite comes in place of, he's replaced Kadeem Aline in the squad, and he comes in for Brandon King, who's still nursing the injury. And on the Antiguan side, Evan Lewis and Fabian Allen still on the mend. And they've brought in the mystery spinner, Mookin. We've never seen him before in CPL, and it will be very interesting to see what bag of tricks he has. So all to play for tonight, Barbados 2 wins out of 2, and looking for a third, and Antigua 3-3, 3 wins, 3 defeats. Living on the edge all the time, Antigua. Mm. They're looking for another win tonight, which could do them a world of good and give them a slight tour in to the playoffs in Barbados in September.
Just before you go, Philip, so you're saying the only change for Barbados then would be Brathwaite coming in for the injured King? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Brathwaite. Plucked from obscurity. He played well in the warm-up match, and that probably ticked the box ahead of someone like a Jaden Roberts, if you think about it. So that ticked that box, and he comes in straight off the plane, straight into this team. And Brandon King still nursing that injury, but they believe Brandon King will be fit for the other matches going forward. Mm-hmm. So this is Barbados playing the first match in 11 days.
Yes, 11 days. Yeah, they've been in Antigua for quite a long time.
Yeah, they say, but downtime doesn't mean free time.
No, I know that. Yes.
So Roddy Eswick kept them chipping. Mm. So they should be pretty fresh.
But it's not normal, though, Philip, for a team to be in the country that long, though, not play. Is that right?
11 days is a long time. Admittedly, that's a long stretch. But the way the CPL schedule is set up, and I mean, this is not a bottomless pit of ICC money. or BCCI money. So you got to appreciate that this is the way it goes. But 11 days is a pretty long stretch. But then they come home to Barbados and they have, I think it's 5 games in 7 days.
Yes, so it's good. Yeah,
days, bro. You get a vacation, then you get to work.
Yeah, indeed. Do you feel the CPL before you go, Philip Spooner? Are you feeling it?
Oh, if you weren't feeling it before Sunday night, you're definitely feeling it. And I can tell you, Murray's feeling it.
Yes.
And he's feeling it big time. And
yes.
The way he batted on Sunday, Andrew, I positioned myself at square leg when he was batting because I knew something was happening.
Mm.
It sounded like gunshots.
Like gunshots?
It sounded like cannons. I mean, the ball was flying off the bat. And the sixes weren't small.
No.
The sixes were not small. The ball towered into the stands. And I think, if Etmer, I mean, we all love Etmer, and some of us who don't love him love to hate him. But if he can bat like that again, Andrew, this guy is special. This guy is special. I mean, Shea Hope was firing on all cylinders.
Mm.
And when you check strike rates, he was still way down off Etmer.
Oh, dear.
And, I mean, the shot sounded like cannons. The ball was disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
And I would pay money to see Etmer.
Yeah, you would. All right. Well, Philip, thanks for coming on Missing the Guest. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you.
All right.
The best, gentlemen.
All right. Let's pause for business calls. When we come back, we're going to certainly continue to chat with Raj and Roger, Roy and Raj. Of course, they're going to be going pretty soon. I'm interested to find out what's happening in terms of coverage and no doubt streaming. I know that radio, TV, very much involved. Of course, when we come back, these gentlemen would be in a position to explain. Mason and Guest, brought in association with the good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
And he's going down the ground. I think it's massive. He is clear.
Feel the excitement of CPL with Berger Paints. Purchase any 2 gallons of Berger Paints for your chance to win 2 tickets and experience the thrilling action live at Kensington Oval. Don't miss a single 6, wicked, or unforgettable moment. Visit your nearest Berger Hardware store today. For promotion details, follow Berger Caribbean on Facebook and Instagram. Terms and conditions apply. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
All right. Okay. Now, gentlemen, just before you go, let's start with you, Raj, in terms of coverage. You got 16 teams coming. Tell us about coverage.
I would like Roy to take that.
Roy
is the man in charge of that.
He's the man.
Yeah. So, gentlemen, in terms of coverage, we've got phenomenal coverage going on in this World Cup. You know, we've got 72 matches. Every match will be live streamed. Okay. We have also, in addition to that, we've got some flagship game and premium games. Obviously, the better games will be shown on the premium matches, but the flagship games are obviously going to be the West Indian games. We're going to make sure that those are available. We're going to also have them available on television. So NCN has come on board with us in terms of production, and we're going to produce those West Indian matches as well as some of the more important matches. We've got 27, I believe, flagship games being done, and we're going to be broadcasting them throughout the Caribbean through Flow Sport right now, NCN, and Rush Sport. We're looking at other providers that will also televise our games. So we're going to have intensive coverage. We're going to have radio coverage on matches as well for those that are not receiving the video feeds. So overall, the coverage is going to be phenomenal. Believe it or not, it's going to be phenomenal for sponsors because we've got some opportunities for the sponsors to get involved and to partner with us where they will get exposure that, quite frankly, would not be available in the CPL format. So, you know, it's just something that we're offering and we're going to be making available as part of our platform. We've developed something called a hub. The hub is the central point of where every single match will be live streamed.
Mm.
So 72 matches, you're going to go there. You're going to get everything about everything to do with the World Cup. From games to schedules to events to the Legends events, opening, closing ceremonies, statistics, you're going to have that there. So it's just a central hub that everybody will be having access to. It is sponsor centric, so the sponsors will get a lot of bang for the buck, be involved with us. So we're going to make them important. We're going to have sponsors that are going to actually do what's called Fan Connect and other events that where people as fans can come on board, predict games and winners of games, and be engaged with the sponsors.
Mm-hmm. I see. Philo, anything?
It's quite different.
Philo, yeah. Anything for the gentleman? Any questions, Philo?
You're muted, Philo.
Yeah, Andrew, thanks. It's good to hear the gentleman obviously looking to get into that very important market of Masters Cricket. What is the plans for, how you come up with a concept and how do you come up with a construct of your team? Because there are people like Dwayne Smith that still plays. I think there's also Fidel Everest that still plays as well. I haven't heard any of those names. So how do you come up with the actual squad members? Because you want to get the over 40s that are relatively fit.
Yeah, Philo, to answer that question, I don't want to call any names and imitate anybody. My apologies, I got my granddaughter. But some players are going to be, the names that I called earlier, they are willing to play without a fee payment. But some players, ever since we started in 2019, we've reached out to all the players that we thought were fit and able to play and cricket ready and would like to play Masters cricket. We've reached out to them all in singular. Some has not responded. Some who responded want to be paid a fee, which we can't afford, basically. And,
It's not that we can't afford it. We're not allowed to. According to the IMC rules, we're not allowed to play players. It's like an amateur event. It's like the old Olympics, where this is an amateur event. It's illegal to play players. We can cover expenses, but we cannot pay a player according to the IMC rules.
I just wanted to add in because all the big names, Andrew, they play Masters cricket, but they're getting paid, right? I actually worked with a Masters team a couple years ago, and the captain was Gautam Gambhir. And you had several former Indian internationals, New Zealand internationals, English internationals on the same team. And you had people like Khalis was playing and guys from Pakistan and, you know, some of the names that we all remember seeing play. But those guys were being paid well. And that's the reason why they don't come to the tournaments that Raj and them having. Also the guy Roy just saying about the amateur, which I didn't know about, but all of those guys want to get paid. You saw the team with Lar was the captain for the West Indies in a couple of tournaments in England and in India. India, you know, and Lar is calling for big money. These guys are, you know, serious money. Some of these guys are getting paid in the six figures, you know. But I just wanted to bring this up. I remember all the way back in 1992, Roland Butcher was involved with some people that sponsored, they were trying to start this Masters thing all the way back then. Because I don't know if you remember Andrew Seymour. Nurse was the oldest player. He was 59 years old at the time. And they played a game in England against England, former West Indian players. But for some reason, the TV thing and sponsorship, it never got off the ground. Because it was an avenue that, you know, guys could see, well, I could still earn money playing cricket after I retired and keep themselves fit, you know?
Yeah. Gentlemen, I just want to make this clear. This Masters Cricket is about the love of the game. It's not about the money. And that's why IMC exists, is because it's for the love, it's for the health, it's for the benefit of players that didn't make it, that have continued on, that we appreciate their stellar, efforts over the decades that have continued to play. You know, our over 60 captain is also our over 40 captain, and he's 61 years of age, and he has played and he's paid every dollar towards his contribution to playing for, you know, West Indies Masters cricket. It's just a dedication, and you know, it's about the healthy lifestyle. We want to get away from these top stars. The top stars, let's face it, have stopped playing cricket somewhere in their 30s. Okay, their commercial value is huge, but their cricket abilities do wane over the years. I'm not saying they can't play. There's still some that can at the very high level, because I played with Chandrapal in his mid-40s, was still sharp as a whip. But nevertheless, this is not what this is about. This is for the love of the game. And this is what I want to make absolutely clear. This is for the love of the game and the people that want and truly love cricket, and and to be able to play at the different levels. So that's what we're all about.
Mm-hmm. Raj, somebody wants to say something? Philo, any follow-up questions? Or you're good? All right. Raj, just before you go, so tell us again when the tournament is going to be.
It's going to be on the 17th of October. We start our first game. We start our opening match again is against Australia at the National Stadium in Providence. Mm-hmm. And we'll be having games 15 straight days until the 31st of October, when we'll have the grand finale right at the Providence Stadium. We'll be having matches all across Guyana in Essequibo. We have two matches at the Anne Regina Stadium, two at Hampton Court at the Joe Jack Mohan Ground. We have matches at Albion. We'll be having matches at Mackenzie, Linden, and in Georgetown, at the Georgetown, the GCC border, DCC, the home of Clive Lloyd, Landscapes, and so on, Maltinos, Enmore, Lusignan. So we'll be using 11 venues around the country, and we'll be having 72 matches.
Mm, yeah, lots of matches to be played. Well, of course, we will do what we can for you in terms of making the public, not only in Guyana, but of course, people across the Caribbean and by extension across the world, know exactly what is happening as far as this is concerned. So, Raj, I want to thank you. Don't be a stranger. We'll certainly invite you again pretty soon to come back and be very much a part of the Mason and Guest family.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
All right. And Roy?
And Basil and Philo and the other guys. Philip.
Have a nice evening.
All right.
Have a nice evening, guys.
Thank you. Okay, Roy. And Roy. So
then. Thanks. Bye.
Bye, Janela.
All right. So let's pause for another business call. When we come back, the lines are open, 441790. We really want to get into the CPL. As we know, our game is very much on. The Falcons are playing against the Tridents. And the Tridents.
Andrew, y'all got a wicket on the first ball.
Oh, really? Who's the bowler?
Mr. Cornwall was bowled by Sams off the first ball.
Oh, my golly. What kind of shot did Mr. Cornwall play?
He didn't even catch up to the ball.
Oh, my golly. His movement was slow.
One swung back in and hit the off stump.
Oh, my golly. All right. Let's pause for business calls. We really want to get from Julian Charles as well, who would have had his leg very much played in St. Lucia. And as the short has joined us as well. Mason and Guest, brought in association with our good friends at Berger Paints for lasting beauty and protection.
And he's going down the ground. I think it's massive. He is clear.
Feel the excitement of CPL with Berger Paints. Purchase any 2 gallons of Berger Paints for your chance to win 2 tickets and experience the thrilling action live at Kensington Oval. Don't miss a single 6, wicket, or unforgettable moment. Visit your nearest Berger Hardware store today. For promotion details, follow Berger Caribbean on Facebook and Instagram. Terms and conditions apply. Berger Paints, for lasting beauty and protection.
All right, let's go to you, Philo. There's been a lot of talk about the Tridents in terms of the construct of the team. There are no real Bajan stars as such. And I know on the bench you've got Johan Lane and people like Jakeem Pollard. And with a situation where, Aline is no longer in the squad. We know that Sharon Brathwaite is there. In fact, he arrived and is actually playing the match. Do you know who the scouts are, Philo, for the Tridents? Because I rather find that, I mean, we do local cricket. Javonta De Pease is such a useful cricketer, left-arm spinner, hits the ball very hard. Jaden Roberts, a good clean hitter. Are you part of the team that will make sure that you send something to those who are very much in charge? Are you a scout, Philo?
No, Andrew, it's definitely even a boy scout.
Oh, my God. Mm.
No. Andrew, the thing is that I watched the practice games, the Tridents had against the Barbados Select. Cricket legends were invited because Tridents wants to obviously keep the Segafredo Sobers legacy going. And when the leg in Barbados start, you'll see more cricket legends being involved. But when I watched those games, I saw Cheyenne Bradford got a good half century against him in the first game. He should have won the game for the Barbados Select, but he got out. And they were quite happy they were quite pleased, the Trident management team were quite pleased with the way in which he batted. He didn't get any in the second game. But when I look at Kadeem Allen and the way he shaped up, I was a little bit taken back for a T20 journeyman who obviously knows and who has been around CPL for a little while now, a number of franchises he's represented, but not really kickstart. Zachary Carthy was given the opportunity to open with Kadeem Allen. You can see that there's a tendency to favor Zachary Carter. And when he got the opportunity to open, although the cock is there, I wasn't surprised. I wasn't really too impressed with Pollard, Andrew. I think he's a work in progress. And I hope that fast bowling coach or assistant coach Roddy Essex will put him through his paces in relation to his run-up. I think he can get a bit more out of himself if he has a more decent run-up. He doesn't attack the crease as a fast bowler should. He doesn't hit the crease as hard as he should. And obviously all that comes down to confidence. He's yet to play. Hopefully he'll play before the season ends. But you can see he has something in him, but he needs consistent work to help him, obviously, to develop his bowling skills. So when you look at the franchise as well, the Trident franchise, we talk about Barbadian stars, but I just look at them as Barbadian cricketers. Johan Lane went around the park in both games. He almost cost them the first game. So I didn't expect him to get a start anyway. But I think that Johan Lane is as well as a work in progress. He's now in the academy in Antigua, and there isn't a lot of reports that come out of Antigua on our bowlers. He went to Sri Lanka, but again, not a lot has been said. I think that he needs a lot of work as well, Andrew. And I don't think that T20 cricket is going to help some of these younger players. I think that we need to have special camps for these guys to play red ball cricket and hone their skills on red ball cricket. I know everybody likes a T20 game. It's a dollar in a fella's pocket. But I believe that if you're going to buy a bag of rice, it's best to buy a bag of rice for 50 years than to buy a bag of rice for 3 months. So I look at longevity in relation to our young cricketers. And that is something that a discussion must be had with CPL, Barbados Cricket Association, and CWA in relation to these young men who are involved in CPL cricket. What is the reason for having them? Is it for exposure? Is it for carrying around the Caribbean to view the different islands? Or are they going to help develop them while they're on tour as players? Because Barbados had 11 days in Antigua. I really like to know what they were doing in Antigua for 11 days. Because these young men who are not playing, you even got Motara, a leg spinner around the who doesn't even play. And you know, leg spinner is a Dan Art. He just a couple of months went to Sharjah with the West Indies team. Mm-hmm. So these are questions that need to be asked. We don't want our cricketers to sit down and be cold. We want our cricketers to sit down, but yet they're doing work in the nets that can help them to develop. So when they do get an opportunity to play, they don't look short of work, they look ready. Mm-hmm. So it's that backroom staff and that work that has to be put in at the back end that is very important, that when we get to see it on the field of play, Andrew, it will produce something. I'm very big on Javonta De Pease. I think he's been left in the dungeons in Barbados cricket. I hope that the Barbados selectors do something to pick him because he is a talent, Andrew. The games that we have watched with him, he controls cricket games, and he does it relatively easy. We saw Jaden Roberts with a lot of power up at Windward, you know, scoring 119 in just 50-something balls. Yes, that is power, but when you talk about skills and batting and cricketer, I think Javonta De Pease ticks every box, and he should be high on the Barbados franchise list to be offered a contract. I am not a selector in any Barbados. I'm not a selector of anything. I just manage what I have around me. And I hope that they listen to those that really have an interest in cricket, in Barbados and West Indies cricket, Andrew, and take heed, because Javonte De Pisa is the real deal. He can bat 3, 4, 5 for Barbados with ease.
Yeah, you're right.
That is honest truth.
And he's also a decent left-arm spinner as well.
He's a cricketer, Andrew. He controls it.
He's a cricketer.
Controls it.
Yeah, I'm surprised, Ezra has joined us, but just before you come in, Ezra, let's go to Julian Charles there in St. Lucia. Julian, I know that you had your leg. Were you happy with the your team that you support, the St. Lucia Kings? Were you happy with them at home?
Well, not exactly. They did have 2 very good victories. Which was exciting, but they did lose 2 as well. So you know, it was a mixed bag from them. And originally, the first few games, they really did not look as sharp as they ought to be. But they did get a couple of replacement players, I believe. The names just slipped me right now. And they look like a different team altogether. Hopefully he'll do a lot better in the latter part of the competition.
And Ogis is now injured.
Yes, he is injured. I do not know the nature of the injury, but I think I was told that they're hopeful that he will be playing the next game. Both he and young Andrews is from Antigua. You know, I think the team they had for the last game and the replacement of their wicket keeper, they look a different outfit going forward. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm reasonably confident that they will do a lot better. I want to just say, though, that I think this year there is a bit of a vibe around the CPL, from what I saw in St. Lucia anyway. But there seemed to be more excitement. I even think the standard of cricket is higher. But having said that, though, I'd like to piggyback on what Philo just said. You know, what is in it for us right now in terms of the player development? We know they get paid better, but in terms of the development of the players and putting our players, you know, the Caribbean players, in a position where they could start developing into international players. Good international players. This is a concern for me because you look and see that where are the young 20-something-year-olds coming through? Not a lot of them in terms of those you expect to. So far, the performances have not reflected that they are picking up on being big international players like Poran and Hope and Powell and this lot. So I'm a bit worried about that. So this is a conversation I believe that must happen so that we can have more of this talent that we know we are capable of coming through our competition.
In fact, last week, Dr. Ford was talking about players who would have, you know, been there from the start. People like Pollard and Russell in particular, and they're still very much playing. So that is, of course, a major concern. Just before we go to Ezra, you talked about the atmosphere good. The crowds were good. You had full houses every night?
Yes. No. Well, you didn't have full houses, no. Especially there was some inclement weather around that affected 2 of the games badly. But in terms of the people who turned out, there was a festive feeling about it. Now, if you're looking at the ground, it's funny that we have one massive stand, which is the massive by our standards in terms of numbers. The Johnson Charles stand is quite a big stand, and it takes up almost 1/3 of the ground, and that's where people like to be. So everybody gets that stand was sold out, and then you would get the grounds area. Just for the last game, it looked like it was like half filled. But so generally, we had good crowds, especially on the last day. But we have seen bigger crowds.
Yeah. I know with interest, up in Jamaica, they haven't had it for a little while. But I just note with interest that the crowds have not been as big, but they've been good as in the past. When I come back, I want to get your recommendations. If you had to meet with CPL, what would you say to them? But Ezra Short, I know that you've got some views on the Tridents in terms of the selection policy. Are you a scout, Ezra? People tend to ask you to be a selector and a scout.
Good night to you, Andrew, and good night to listeners and other members of your guests. Definitely, I don't think in Barbados people who want me to be a scout or to be a selector or anything of that sort, you know, because I would pick people who perform, you know, and regardless of which club they play for. And sometimes we always get that feeling that some players are not selected because of either background, the clubs, schools, etc. I don't know if it's true, but some people have not gained selection, and you know, people have wondered why many times. But I too am disappointed that I know it is franchise cricket, and I know that there are rules and regulations governing the star-studded players, and some franchises can retain players. But I'm deeply disappointed that someone like a Shea Hope, he should be really captaining the Barbados Tridents, you know, and then we should have at least had two of, let's say, Kyle Mayers, Matthew Ford. Well, Jason was with us for quite a bit, and then he opted to leave. And Chase is in strength in St. Lucia. So even if he is there and we had someone like a Mayers, well, not in his current form, because I'm a bit disappointed with his output so far. But definitely a Shea Hope should have been sought after vigorously to captain the Barbados Tridents, and I hope that you think every effort will be made next year.
But do you think the Amazon Warriors will release Hope?
I don't think they will, because has been a really, really valuable member. Exactly. And so his stocks will definitely go up next year if he continues in this vein, because he was the leading round scorer in 2024, and then he was thereabouts about the second or third highest run scorer last season. So he is a player that will definitely bring the fans out to cricket whenever the Tridents play. But with this start that they are having, who knows? They don't have the star names, but like my good friend Colin James said, if there's able to pull the team together and each person rally around each other, I'm sure that we could still get the victories that without the stars. But in my early closing remarks, I would like to say a deep congratulations to Cheyenne Bruffett for making the team. Andrew, like you, he is a Bayfield man, and I'm sure that you are happy.
Of course.
You know, he lives a stone throw away from St. Catharines Club. I don't know why he's not playing for St. Catharines. Nevertheless, I would like to congratulate him on, you know, making his debut. And
would you have picked him, Ezra? Ezra, would you have picked him?
Yes, based on the fact that he made 85. I always thought that Cheyenne Bruffett should have been given more opportunities to play for Barbados,
right?
Especially in white ball cricket. Remember, as a schoolboy, he scored 200s in our Super 50 competition and wasn't selected. I believe that when you perform, you should be selected for Barbados. That is why I was so disappointed last year when Nymar Boland did not make the 50-over Barbados team after scoring 171 not in the final, you know, of our premier one-day tournament. You know, I think that we got to reward people when they perform. Otherwise, some of them might just go off the boil and not make it. Cheyenne is in his mid-20s now, and I'm happy for him. I'm happy for someone like a Murray Goodrich.
Yes.
You know, as well. His good friend, by the way. You know, and
but the backup player, but as well, the backup players for Barbados, Johan Lane and Jakeem Pollard, I mean, what do you think of those?
And Zihan Matara. Well, Matara. Like Phil said, they are promising cricketers. I don't know if T20 is ideally the format suited for them.
Right.
But because they are not going to get many opportunities, Ramon Simmons, who has been around. I think that Philo met him rather than Johan Lane, because Johan Lane has not played as yet. Roman Simmons, he has bought some tough overs, but he's gone really poorly. I think he's gone at 13 runs per over. You know, he went to 47-3 and 49-4. You know,
I was speaking about the trial matches that I saw, the practice matches that Johan Lane bowling. I know Johan Lane has not played a CPL game, and I've said the reason maybe because he had those two poor warm-up games. Because he bowled the 19th over and the 18th over and went for some runs that almost cost him the game. So maybe that is why he has not started as yet. But obviously with the left-hand seamer Ramon Simmons, who is also a West Indies player and on the comeback from injury, you know, these guys, to me, they don't play enough cricket. And every time you look around, they're injured or they're being management workload kind of thing. And you can see that they're really short of work. I think that coming into a CPL, these guys should be building up their workload. Mind you, maybe right ball cricket, but they should be building their workload up. So when the CPL does come around, at least they're in some kind of form. And you, as a former cricketer, Ezra, you know you got to bowl to be in bowling form. You got to bat to be in batting form. And even as a keeper, you got to keep a lot to be in form. So I believe that the young cricketers don't play enough cricket to be match ready and skilled ready. And that's why you find them always looking so underwork when it comes to Caribbean Premier League. And we're like, hopefully that the administrators and the authorities will have a discussion, Ezra, about developing our players. So when CPL comes around, the transition is not so difficult. And it's just about having the right discussions with the right people. I think we have a lot of people who sit on committees, but they're just sitting. They're not having the meaningful and manful discussions about cricket and cricket development of our young players. You see them on you see them on Saturdays, Ezra. You just watch the finals, the intermediate. Some good cricketers there at Ipswich. Some nice young cricketers. What is going to happen to them? These are the kind of conversations. The cricketers don't always have to come from the elite clubs, you know. They got some nice cricketers out there that just need help. And that is what I'm talking about.
Interesting.
CPL's pool will be wider. We're widening the CPL pool. We don't just want it to be elite clubs. Let the CPL realize that down below, there's some very keen cricketers. They're young. Some Barbados youth team players are playing in that intermediate finals.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Philo. I find that what is happening though, you find as soon as someone gets an opportunity to represent the West Indies or whatever, you hardly see them playing club cricket any longer. And there are a number of players who have played for the West Indies, some star players who have not played club cricket in Barbados in years. You know, they hardly ever represent their club. And I think that the decline of some of them on the international stage has been linked to the fact, like you said, they don't play enough club cricket. Barbados club cricket used to be the real test. You know, you had to perform and you had to show your worth. And we knew long ago when players return from England on their contracts, they will come back and strengthen the clubs. We hardly see that nowadays.
We could have picked a Barbados cricket captain from a club team.
Yes. Okay. 441790 is the call number. Very, very interesting discussion. And no doubt we will invite you to participate. 441790. In terms of Basil Butcher, we're going to come to you, Charles, in a minute, Julian Charles. If you had to meet with the CPL management, Basil, what would be your concerns?
Look, I think the franchises are that embedded in all the various territories. One of the problems is they just parachute in for the most part just before CPL. Mm. And when CPL is over, they're gone. If they're going to be really part and parcel of development of players from the various territories where they're embedded, I feel every territory that they're embedded should have a tournament. So if a youngster said, look, in Barbados, for example, say, well, I want to play for the Barbados Tridents, he would know that his opportunity would be to be outstanding in this tournament that will be played in Barbados, a T20 tournament, and would get a trial. You know, the outstanding players would get a trial to fill in spots for the upcoming season. So you have an organic relationship in the territory with the franchise that's embedded there, rather than this current situation, just parachuted in and parachuting out.
Interesting. Now, let me come to you, Julian Charles. If you had to meet with the management of the CPL, what would your concerns be?
Well, the concerns must be that we're not seeing enough players playing for the territorial teams, and not enough West Indian players, that is, and getting the kind of opportunities that they need to get, like batting in the top six if you are a batsman, or you know, getting opportunities to bowl. I think what we're seeing a lot of them warming up the benches. For example, you'd say, if you have to take St. Lucia for an example, you would have a youngster called Kian Gaston. He's on the bench. And then you have Mechanic Clark. He's on the bench.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you have Destcat. He's on the bench as well for, I think, Antigua, one of them. So, and that seemed to be a recurring figure in the territories as well. So I think when the CAPL was first envisaged, you would expect, the expectation was that each team, say for example, Barbados, Jamaica, they would have at least six Barbadians, six Jamaicans, and then, you know, you have a couple of international players, and then you have a couple of players from the other islands, because you want to encourage that integration of West Indian cricketers. But this is not what's happening. Basically, what we're seeing is the international players getting most of the opportunities, if not all of it. It's certainly not like the Indian Premier League, from what I can see, where the Indians dominate the various teams. So we have to go back to the drawing board on that. I think CPL, the last time they gave the impression that they're open to it, because there was a discussion on the future of the CPL. That came up as part of the discussion of that CARICOM had in terms of cricket development. That was a year or two ago in Trinidad, with the various prime ministers. So there is that concern. But in the meantime, what we can do is organize a semi-professional league, for example, where the players could get a chance to come in and show their talent, because, you know, again, as Philo said, they're not playing enough cricket. We're not seeing enough of them. So you could organize a semi-professional league so that those on the fringes of international cricket could get a chance to play. And of course, they would need to have a buy-in from CPL based on the contract. And CPL have said they're willing to allow them to play, so to speak. So, you know, this is one great initiative that could go forward, because we need to see our players. When you look at a player like Poran, who plays for the Trinidadian, not Nicholas, the other one, the young one, well, the one just starting making his debut this year. Right. Look at the quality of inning that young man played, of 70-something.
Brilliant.
I mean, clearly you could see that, and he's 30 years. And so why are we only now seeing him? And going back, when you look at Greaves, the test player, although a little, I'm diverting a bit, but when you see Greaves bat, and test cricket and 50 over cricket for West Indies, and he's also 30 years, and you're thinking Greaves has the ability to have been an international player from 5 years ago, maybe, or more. So, you know, so we are not seeing our players. You know, we need to, as I said, organize a semi-professional league, have proper scouts as well, who has played at that level. Yeah.
But Julian, you asked about these players, and I want to interject. The question you need to ask is, why did they slip through the local franchise net? That's
right,
the question.
But they were saying
why have Greaves been abandoned, or Greaves have not been looked at from a Barbados point of view for a very long time? I embrace and I commend Antigua, you know. I embrace and commend Antigua for keeping Justin Graves and helping him to develop his cricket. He's now their leader, and I'm happy for them. They saw the skills that they look that they were wanted from that guy. The question is, why are these local players being missed at the local levels, and then they're being picked up by another franchise and are doing well? Why are they being missed?
Philo, I asked the question. I asked that same question about the same guy, Puran, because when he was making the runs in those two innings, Ganga on commentary was giving you a good background as to his powers in the Trinidad domestic cricket. So one of my Trinidadian friends filled me in and said he is not part of the clique, so to speak. So he didn't get pulled in. And that's why I stated earlier, if you have tournaments in the territories that performances, not friends and family or people you know, that will give get you a break in your local franchise would could help to alleviate some of these guys not getting into the franchises in their respective territories.
Yes, if they get enough opportunities, then they could force their way into the teams. Because you need, eventually, if they knock the door hard enough, they'll break it down. But they can only do that by the force of their performances.
Doc, you expressed some concerns last week, in fact, and you made the point that people like Pollard still playing. If you had to meet with the management of the CPL, what would you say to them, Doc?
Well, basically, I think that, yes, we want to have the best party in cricket, but we want to make a legacy, create a new legacy of players that we can depend on that can make the West Indies champions in the format again. So it will require a new generation of players who will range from 18 to 21, 22, 23. And these are the players that have to come through and take over the spotlight. If we depend on individuals that have played for a decade and more as being marquee players, then the tournament will die, because you do need, as some people would say, new blood in order to really allow the tournament to progress. We have to accept that we will not ever have India or any significant players because of the window and the other difficulties that surround CPL. But for CPL's continued development and survival, it will need to pivot to new players that are marketable and can become household names and faces in the region and beyond.
Ezra?
Yeah, well, the question is always going to be, can CPL pay the salaries to get certain star players, some of the second string Indians who are not playing in the current test series? You know, I'm sure that they're available to play franchise cricket, but maybe the cricket board in India don't allow their players. But we have never had current Indian players playing in the CPL. We had one or two past Indian players, but never in the history of the CPL have we had a situation where current Indian stars participated. Whether or not there was a window to allow for it, we hardly had Indians playing. But it is something that you have to look at, because I remember from the days of, we mentioned Justin Graves being given an opportunity by the Leeward Islands. But the same thing happened to someone like a Nkuma Bonner, Django Reefer, that's Raymond Reefer, Rashawn Primus. You know, all these guys had to leave their home territory and go elsewhere to be seen and to be recognized, you know. And, you know, some franchises embrace some players from other territories, whereas you see the situation where some of the franchises have so many good home-based players that other players hardly get the opportunity. But all in all, I think that, you know, the CPL, while there have been some exciting matches and the crowds have been coming. I think that we really need to have some more stars. I'm disappointed that someone like a David Miller is not part of the Barbados Tridents. You know, he came a couple of years ago and he was extremely successful. And I would really have loved to see him in the middle order playing for the Barbados Tridents, but that's not the case this year.
Ezra, the Indian players aren't allowed to play any overseas domestic tournaments. There's a BCCI policy that even up to the other day, you heard Nasser Hussain who had a back and forth with Shastri about
yes,
it.
Yes.
And Shastri, with the same foolish rationale that you hear from all the Indian folks, oh, we have to keep in the integrity of our domestic cricket. So everybody else gets screwed and want to say the paltry money that they pay for a player from overseas country to the boards. Like if a 50,000 is gonna make a big dent in our lack of resources.
What's the latest score then on Basel?
41 for two.
What's Django doing?
The Afghanistan bowler just bowled on Gore.
Oh, okay. So it's what, 41 for two, 6.2 overs, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, and Gore's another young man that is struggling too.
Yes.
He was going good. He was going good in this inning, and then he didn't pick the right one.
Gentlemen, can we turn our attention now to the new batting consultant? I know it interested the West Indies. Fellow, they've now got a new batting consultant.
How old is he?
I just have to Google.
He's older than me.
Who's the new batting consultant?
Are you retired, Ezra? You're retired?
Yeah, some guy by the name of Carter. He's 66.
He's older than you.
I think he's 66.
CWI Board of Directors has sat down and decided that a 66-year-old...
Where is this guy from?
New Zealand.
Oh, my Lord.
I just received a message about him. Obviously, CWI have been advertising this position for a little while. I don't know if any locals have applied for the job, but to go towards a 66-year-old, I think is a bit much.
Ooh.
You have to look at, I think so. Maybe you have to, listen, all cricket needs dynamic thinkers. I'm not so certain that this guy can bring it to us, Andrew. I'm looking at the guy also in our academy. Because I'm looking at Johan Lin and those guys who are there, and I'm not seeing any improvements, you know. They still go to a lot of weak deliveries. They can't string 12 good balls together with just two overs. And I'm looking at these guys who say that they are coming here to help our cricketers. Because I ain't seen a lot of help happening at all. I think that we need I heard somebody talk about the forum. Julian Hunt spoke about the forum that was in Trinidad and Tobago 3 years ago. But we were supposed to get a paper from CWI in conjunction with the CARICOM Secretariat, a working paper.
Yes.
And we have not received not even an ink mark on it. No. Yeah, Andrew. And these are things that frustrates people and players and former players, because if there's a big forum like that, and you said that you're going to come up with a working paper that can be shared to the region of what CWI needs to do with our cricket, and then you appoint a 66-year-old batting consultant from New Zealand, tell me, where is all cricket really going? England have just asked Brendan McCallum to step aside, and they've given Stephen Fleming the job. Now Stephen Fleming has called Mike Hussey and asked him if he will consider being the batting coach. Mm-hmm. Then we've gone to 66-year-old to be our batting consultant, you know. He's consulting the coaches on batting. But so where CWI expects people to support them? If you can't find that person among some of the greats that we have here who are qualified, because some of our greats are qualified coaches, if you cannot find it among our greats, you can tell me a 66-year-old New Zealand is going to come to the Caribbean and make our batters better?
Philo, I think you have a point, but I would not discriminate based on age, because
I'm not discriminating on age.
No,
Mr.
because
Charles.
I'm not discriminating at all.
Because Ezra Short is retired, you know. He's a retired man. And the man is older as Ezra Short, that's the point I'm making.
No, but if you're gonna hit him, and you're right. I mean, we have so many people in the Caribbean who could do that job. So many great players we've had in the past. But I wouldn't hate him so much on his age.
I believe
and I'm not far from that age.
No, I believe someone like you, Julian Charles, who has played regional cricket with success. You can be involved in St. Lucia's cricket and have masterclass batting sessions. I'm speaking of people of your ilk. You were the epitome of batsmanship. So why can't you be involved in St. Lucia's cricket to help develop the backer? There's an academy there. Why can't you be involved? You don't have to play test cricket. You've got the experience.
Yeah, that's a good point. But the age part, I just
don't.
Yeah. No, you're going to go back to the age again.
He's coming from this. What I'm saying to you is, we have the quality in the Caribbean.
Of course, we do. Yeah.
And we need to do is structure the programs, masterclass batting sessions in every territory. Pick the best batting consultants, the batting coaches there. Let them work, videotape, send it to whoever at CWA. Fast bowlers, spinners, keepers, the whole chemise. Just get the guys to work and work hard and get them to understand the rudiments of the game. I cannot see how a New Zealand is going to come here and teach us how to play sharp pace bowling.
Okay, gentlemen, we got a call. let's take the call, 441790. Hello, welcome. Hello, welcome, 441790. We have the call. Hello, welcome. Hello.
Yes, this is Victor Young here.
Victor Young. Hello, Victor.
Yes, I want to get in there to question something that Wallace talking about.
Well,
tell him that is nonsense when he's talking about age.
Oh.
Age don't come into that. We got people at 18 and 85. Who are physically fit and carrying no fat around the belly. And I believe Wallace is carrying too much fat around his belly to talk about age.
When last have you seen Mr. Wallace, Victor?
I saw him a couple of times and he looked like he was pregnant.
Thank you very much, Victor. But I hope that you employ somebody of age and they deliver for you when you don't agree. Because all I'm saying is that we have the talent in the Caribbean. We have qualified former cricketers that can get the job done. Give them the opportunity to pull the resources together. Why do we have to go outside all the time and pull people and then they disappear on us? Who is going to be this man's assistant? Yeah. Is he going to have transfer of knowledge working around him, younger person?
Yeah,
so when he goes, that knowledge is continued and the work is continued?
Mm.
Okay, is that going to happen?
Let's take another call, fellow. Hello, 441790. Hello.
Good evening.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I agree with Wallace 100%. That guy is crazy. Let me tell you something, right? A lot of people are calling on your program. I don't think they've got the knowledge about cricket. They might have watched a lot of cricket, but they don't understand cricket. Now, did you hear Bravo's speech the other day? Bravo.
It relates to, in what specifically? What are you saying?
No, he was talking about, they were asking him if he would be the West Indies, if he would take the job as a West Indies batting coach.
Right.
And he said he would take the T20.
Right.
And I hope somebody from the West Indies Cricket Board listening to this conversation right now from the sound of my voice. Because I can say something as well. And let me start like this. He says he could feel proud sitting on the board as a great among the great because in T20 cricket, he did great. I say that to say this. Now, we got refer as a batting coach. I'm Andrew. You say you hear a lot of things. Did you hear through the grapevine? When Phil Simmons was the West Indies coach, he went to a young cricketer, I'm not going to call his name, and he went to help him with his batting technique. He looked at Phil Simmons and said, when you was playing, you could not help yourself. You cannot help me.
Oh, dear.
Now, I say that to say this. If you want to know where this called me out the program, I can tell you. I say that to say this. When what Brad Wolf says make a lot of sense. When you the great and you got respect and you did it, people can listen to you. I hear the same fellow Wallace Garner and them places went in schools and talk to people and they listen to them. You see, when you were great and you had the ability and you know the know-how, the young, even they might not know you and heard about you, they're going to listen to you. When you bring people that never score 100, like the same Reefer. Reefer, I know you play a lot of cricket. I doubt you score 50 for the rest of me. When you bring players of those caliber, those guys don't want to listen to them. And we dare say the people rude. They're not rude. They're correct. They're speaking the truth, but because we don't like what, because we think they have the right standards to that person, we say they're rude. They're not rude. If you never score 100, you can't teach me to score none. You can, if you have a child that cannot read, you cannot bring a content to teach him to read. You got to bring somebody that knows how to read, to know how to break those syllables, to teach them. That is what you're saying. Have a good evening.
All right. Thank you very much indeed for your contribution. 434-1780. Yes. Yes, Ezra.
It does not always mean that you have to be an outstanding cricketer. But we're dealing with cricket to be a great coach.
Correct.
There have been people in the past. I remember the Australian John Buchanan. You know, he wasn't a great in terms of first class cricket or test international cricket, but he was a very, very good coach. There are some exceptions to the rule where we have had outstanding coaches who never really on the international stage. So I am saying that when you are outstanding and you play at the international level and you are also a good coach, that is the perfect combination, you know. However, there are exceptions where you can be a very good coach even though you have not played at that high level.
I would say most of the greatest coaches across sports were not outstanding players.
That's true.
They might have played at the level, but they weren't outstanding players. I mean, look at NBA, Phil Jackson, Pat Riley, and those guys. None of them were outstanding players, but they became outstanding coaches. Popovich from San Antonio never played in the NBA, and he is one of the greatest coaches. The one from New England, Belichick in the NFL. Never played professional football, and he is regarded as the greatest coach in NFL history.
But were they students of the game?
Yes, students of the game. Students of the game.
In the same token, though, being a great player does not mean that you cannot be a great coach.
Oh, of course not. I agree. I think oftentimes with the greatest players, they don't, the time, the grind that the coaching, because the game came a lot easier for them to pick up things. Some of them don't have the same patience as the grinders. But
communication skills are important.
Yeah, great. That's all it is. Because the skill of coaching is a totally different thing than playing the game.
Coaching is about communicating.
Correct.
Basil, someone is writing here. Good evening, gentlemen. I'm concerned that there are few players that we saw as breakout players. What would have become of them?
That's Kevon a good Pittman, question.
Yes, Kevin Sinclair, Drakes, etc. Not seeing these guys and others getting chances this time around. Is that a fair comment?
What about Micah McKenzie?
Yes.
He was the most outstanding leg break bowler.
Yes.
And we have not seen the guy sat happening on the with bench.
Him. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Sat on the bench the entire season last year. And we have yet to see him this year. So, I mean, I find that very puzzling. Whereas his partner, Laws,
yes,
is getting play every single game. And he's probably sitting on the bench saying, wait, what about me?
And Laws getting some lashes too.
Exactly. which I suspected he would get, you know, because this is big cricket.
Indeed. I see. Ezra, we got another 5 minutes left on Mason and Guest. At the local level now, I note with interest that you've got...
Andrew.
Yes.
One quick thing. We talk about this batting consultant and talk about West Indian players. What happened to Carl Hooper?
Yes.
Why?
And Brian Lahr.
You know? What happened to Carl Hooper?
Yes.
You need to bring Carl on to ask him about
it. Yeah, yeah. I've been trying to get Carl, but with no success. Maybe okay. maybe Carl is preparing for the over 40s. Ezra, quickly before we go, at the local level now, you got the finals on at Weymouth. You got the semi-finals in the second division competition, and you also had on the weekend. One didn't play the semi-finals of the Super Cup.
Yeah. Actually, Andrew, I was able to watch some of all three matches. I was in Queen's Park, I went to Weymouth, and I was at Windward. We had a very exciting semi-final with YMPC coming from the brink of defeat, so to speak, and winning against the much heralded Wilde outfit. And, you know, it was really a thrilling match. It went right down to the wire with the last wicket pair scoring 20-odd to get the victory. It was really unfortunate that the second semi-final between Wanderers and Gladiola wasn't played at the Desmond Haynes Oval, the old Carlton. And I believe that the BCS should seriously look at switching that game from Carlton, because all season we have had some problems with the outfield in terms and covers when rain falls. We hardly get cricket at Carlton these days. And, you know, I think that having seen the conditions at Lucas Street, you know, I think that I would favor if they had to make a switch to that venue to play that semi-final, because it's really unfortunate that there's some morning showers and no real showers between the playing time could stop the cricket from being played.
Ezra, they don't cover the run-ups.
No.
They only cover the pitch. You have to cover the run-ups. If you don't cover the run-ups, you're not going to get cricket.
That's true.
And if there's a semi-final game at Desmond Haynes Oval, the Barbados Cricket Association could have easily sent two covers down there to cover the run-ups, Ezra. It's a semi-final under the auspices of the Barbados Cricket Association, not beating on them, but make sure the facilities are tip-top shape so that if there's any problem, then it'd be an outfield problem, not a run-up to a pitch problem.
Yeah.
And that is the reason. But you see, Ezra, we have people sitting, but they're not coming around and understanding the cricket. I mean, you speak, they say you're criticizing. It is not being critical. Now, the semi-finals now of another game is going to be pushed back. That means the season has to be pushed back, but you've got to fit it in. And all these are things that cause problems. I went down there to do a game. Carlton versus Impress. It was supposed to be a one-day game. The sun was hot.
Right.
No cricket complaint because there was leakage on the covers and the same runners were down.
Mm.
And that was about 6 weeks ago, Ezra.
Right.
So if you know the problem was there 6 weeks ago, you can wait 6 weeks in the future and the problem's still there. Who's to blame? You can blame Carlton. Come and help them. Give them the covers and let them play the cricket. The men want to play the cricket.
Right. But we got to leave it there.
I'm just saying that Carlton ground probably is not suitable
for
the cricket.
Yeah, because, it is suitable.
Well, they don't have the covers that would make the cricket possible. So go to another venue that have covers and that could cover the run-ups.
All right, Jeremy, we've got to leave it there. I note with interest that the Falcons at the halfway stage, they're 61 for 3 now. 10 overs gone. It means that the Tridents are doing pretty well. So
you're looking good, Andrew. You're looking good there.
Cooking good looking. Thanks to you, gentlemen, for coming and being very much a part of Mason. And guest thanks to Raj and to Roy. It was certainly a pleasure having them on the show. Thanks to you, Julian Charles, the man from Hell in the West.
Thank you.
I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a brighter tomorrow. It's good night.